So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be closing the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we're going to do this week and next week, and then we'll be done with it. But we're going to look into just half the chapter here, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 12. The thought that I had when going into this is people nowadays are often filled with their own agendas. They're often filled with their own missions in life. They're constantly trying to find what their purpose is. They're the question that I often get asked when it comes to, or not even asked, but just the statement, which I think is a very Christian question, is, what is God's will for my life? I oftentimes find people coming to church, finding their own mission. Why am I here? What does church have for me? See, in our consumeristic culture, we live a life that is really revolved around us. When we don't get a certain feeling in church, or when we don't get a certain expectation met, it's specifically through Christianity, we oftentimes get angry. Something's wrong. It's not fair. And I think what we fail to realize is how often we make things about us blindly that shouldn't be about us. See, God Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He gives two commandments there. Love God and love people. And in that, he never once says that you're part of that love. It's the only thing that he makes mention of us as the self is that we love people as we would love ourselves, which is evidence of how much we tend to love ourselves. With that being said, when we look at this half of the chapter, we see something that is very thinking about the other person. And when we start thinking this way, some of these questions that Christians ask upon themselves get answered. Like, what is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to be doing in life? What is my role as a Christian? Where do I find fulfillment? What does it look like to submit? What is this understanding that I'm seeking? And in this chapter, I hope that we can answer some of these questions. The first thing that he goes into saying, and we're going to read through this, and we're going to break it down into three different points. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there is no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work is open to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. So I listened to a sermon on this, and there was this pastor who used the illustration of the give and go in basketball, which I really liked concerning this. So he says the idea of the give and go in basketball is that there's a guy who has a ball, and he passes to a teammate, and he runs towards the basket. When he does, the person who has the ball will pass it back to him, hoping for a shot, a play, or a pass for a score. That's called the give and go. The cool thing about this is anybody can do it on the floor. It is not just a guard play. It is not just a big man play. It is set up for anybody on the floor to do it. And in this instance, Paul is putting Corinth in with the other churches. He says, just as I instructed Galatia, you ought to do this as well. And he is asking them to collect as each one prospers, as each one is called to give. And he's going to take that money to Jerusalem, or he's going to have someone take it to Jerusalem as an offering. And then as he does it, he's asking someone specifically to do so. And then the next part is that he hopes to be hanging with the Church of Corinth. Like his desire is that he can stay through the winter and be with them. And also he's planning on sending Timothy and Apollos and others to Corinth as well. As I was reading this, I thought of the different things here. As I mentioned before, when people end up thinking about themselves, they miss out on a lot of things concerning Christianity, because believing in God is not about us. It's about others. And so Paul addresses the some things here, or he makes, as he's talking about it, I believe he's showing the Church of Corinth a few things here. The first one is when it comes to setting people up for success, or even just being a Christian to another person, we see three things, or four things really, that help with this. The first one is giving. And in this aspect, we see money and we see time. So Paul addresses the idea of collection and then giving it to and sending it to Jerusalem. What we see here is Paul is asking them to give. Now, this is specifically in their money. What I feel like the Church of Corinth didn't know how to do is they didn't know how to give. They were a struggling church in the sense that they were very egotistical. It was all about them. And so he's instructing them to give, as he did Galatia, which evidently might have had a problem as well. And then he also addresses the idea of giving of their time. Now he looks at that through sending Timothy and them. But what I thought was interesting is in verse 3, he says, "And when I arrive, I will send those, the collections, whom you accredited by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." So whoever they suggest by letter, he wants to send them with the money. This is someone who's trustworthy and someone who's willing to give up his time for this stuff. The next part is, "I will visit you for after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go." What I love about this is we see friendship. This is the next point, the friendship. Paul isn't just about using people. Paul desires to invest in people. As we see here, that he wants to stay with them. He wants to check in on them. He wants to be friends with them. Paul isn't just about his own journey. He's about others' journeys as well. And then the next part is hospitality. We see this whenever he talks about Timothy in verse 10. He says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, and that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. What is so cool about this is he's teaching them hospitality. He's teaching the church of Corinth to think about others rather than themselves. And I love this because so often in the church, we think consumeristically so fast rather than thinking of the commandments, loving God and loving people. See, one of my pet peeves that it bothers me so bad is whenever I read an article or I have a conversation with someone, that when they went to a church, they go, the reason why I didn't go to that church is when I walked in and walked out, no one shook my hand. No one talked to me. No one even knew I was there. Now, granted, I will say that I believe that the church should be reaching out, without a doubt. But as a Christian, if I walk into a church and I don't shake somebody's hand at that church to get a feel for that church, to understand the people of that church, that is also on me as a Christian. Because I walked in expecting people to love me, when that's not what this is about. Our walk as a Christian should constantly be about others and about God. And in these things, giving of money and time and friendship that's concerning intentionality with people and hospitality, loving people and comfort in your home, in your church. What does that look like in your life? Are these things existing? When you have someone over at your house, do you hide? Do you just say hi and go in the other room? Or do you ask them, do you want something to drink, something to eat? Do you serve the people in your home? And I'm not just talking about someone new in your home. Maybe you start with just your family. How do you serve your family inside your home? And this goes for anybody, because I believe anybody can serve anybody in whatever capacity of life that they're in. I think that many areas of our Christian walk often starts to revolve around us in so many areas that we forget that life in the Christian walk, in our relationship with the Lord, is not about us. So how are you doing in these different areas? When it comes to giving of money and time, where does that go? Does that go around your hobbies? Does that invest into you? Are you investing in others with your time and money? Or is it all solely wrapped around you? I can tell you, if you take your bank statement and you start highlighting things that are about others and about yourself, you may be shocked at what you find. The next thing is friendship. How are you doing with people? The hardest thing is whenever I see a funeral happen and I look out in the crowd and there are no friends. And that tells me how much did this person invest in other people. I can tell you without a doubt, it is worth it to invest in friendships. Surrounding ourselves with believers, making it not about you, but making it about people. And then finally, hospitality. How often do you take someone out to lunch or dinner? How often do you invite people into your home? How often are you willing to give your coat to someone who needs it, even if it hurts? See, that's the questions we have to answer. How often are we neglecting hospitality because it discomforts us? And so my question is, how often do you think about loving God and loving people over loving yourself? This is one of the things that Paul's addressing here. And so I I hope that you answer these questions, and I hope whatever answers you find, that you would seek out the Lord, seek guidance, and continue to live by His grace and mercy on your life, to love God and love people more than what our culture is influencing us to do. Do not love yourself. Put yourself down, lower self, and love others and love God more every day.